This is episode 33 of the Driving Eureka podcast, where we'll talk about a format change to the podcast and four ways to make innovation stick. Let's go! The Driving Eureka podcast with Doug Hall and Trip Babbitt is sponsored by the Eureka Ranch. The ranch specializes in helping companies find, filter, and fast-track big ideas. And in this episode, we're going to make some changes with the way that we go about putting the podcast together and those types of things. So, Doug, why don't you share a little bit about some of the thinking that we've been talking about with regards to these changes and some of the writing projects you have and all of that stuff?
Yeah. So the internet is a world where there tends to be lots of sound bites, lots of short pieces, short, quick things, And I'll never forget being with a senior vice president at a major corporation, global corporation. And we walked in and we started talking about innovation. He says, so what's it take to change my culture? I said, well, it's hard. I'm just telling you. And it's going to take a lot of work. And I started to go through it. And he stopped me and he said, excuse me. I said, yes. He says, thank you. I said, what do you mean, thank you? He says, thank you for not trying to make me believe that I'm an idiot, that it's just a simple little thing. And if I do this magical thing, everything's perfect. I know it's hard. Would somebody please admit the fact that these things are hard? So I was thinking of him recently because he's since retired and thinking about him and thinking about some projects I'm doing for a new journal that's going to come out, an anthology of everything to do about innovation and persuasion, and that I'm writing a chapter for, and some other projects I've got. I thought, maybe we should just go our own way here. Maybe we should try something different. And so we've been doing the Driving Eureka. We've had a number of different articles in it, talking about whiskey, talking about books, talking about these things. And I thought, what if we just really focus this? And it's around the for-profit nonprofit, which is the Innovation Engineering Institute, and the work we do there, which is about teaching the innovation engineering system for enabling innovation by everyone, everywhere, every day. And instead of skipping over the surface, go deep. Mm. Go deep on one subject each week. One subject. And I recognize that there's going to be some people who like to have it shallow. Okay, I'm putting in my bias. As a guy who writes real books, not the 40-page books or the 120-page books, but the, 300, 400-page books, that writes real. Let's go deep on some issues. Each week, let's talk deeply about it and package it up the way we teach with innovation engineering around problem, promise, and then the method slash the proof on how to do it.
Okay. So this will be the kind of the format of it, if you will, is this problem, promise, proof portion. This will be something we'll see in every episode.
Well, that's a gross statement.
Okay.
Consistency, which is, consistency is hobgoblin.
All right. I am talking with Doug Hall.
I'm not going to promise you that it could be this forever. I know you love that consistency, but that's not in a general sense. Mm. I'm going to set up a problem, make a promise, and then take you through the proof and the method by which to do it, of which 80%, 90% of it's going to be about the how.
Okay.
Because, that's mm-hmm. the real challenge. And so this will be a general structure and we'll play with it for a while and then we'll innovate and we'll find something else. But I'm hoping that, basically as we run over the next, 3 months, sort of through the times when the days are long and the nights are short, that we can, do this. And then come fall, then it's time for something different.
Okay. Very good. Well, let's start with the 33rd episode, but the first episode of a new format and a new way of going about the way we've put together this podcast. So
let's think of it as thinking deeper.
Thinking deeper. Okay. A new way of thinking deeper. So
there we go.
Okay. So four ways to make innovation education stick four times to 28 times more. That's the subject. All right. That sounds deep.
This wide acceptance of the need for innovation in organizations. And in support of enabling innovation, there are countless courses and classes, endless courses and classes that companies can provide to their employees. But sadly, the vast majority of the time, it doesn't seem to make a difference. When employees come back to their organization, they quickly revert to their previous non-innovative mindset. They just get caught up in it. I mean, is this a problem you've seen?
Oh, sure. Because as most systems and most habits that I've seen, once an organization starts to do something, it's like a speeding ship. You know, you can't just turn it all of a sudden and turn it around like the Titanic. You know, it just keeps moving forward. So people have got habits. And when you go back, it's very easy for organizations to fall back into old thinking.
I'm reminded of a time. We were doing an event. There were probably 400 people from around the world. It was a global meeting of one of the mega car companies up in the city of Detroit. And they were committed to innovation. We're going to innovate. We're going to innovate, blah, blah, blah. And so we're teaching and we're having them do stuff. And I just wandered around and I got around the back of the room while they were working on something. I said, "What do you think?" And there were a couple of guys sitting there. And they said, they took a sip of coffee and they said, "I don't mean to be disrespectful, but kind of heard it before. You know, this new guy, this is his thing. We'll just be calm. He'll be gone. And then we'll be on to the next one."
Yeah.
I mean, they're not being mean.
Right. They're being truthful.
They're totally truthful.
Absolutely.
Totally truthful. So clearly, this is a big problem, something we need to think deeply about.
Okay.
So that's why we're going to do this.
All right.
So the promise I'm going to make to you is to ignite and sustain employee engagement and innovation, resulting in a 4X to 28X greater impact. So I'm not talking about 5% or 10%. I'm talking 400 to 2800% increase. Okay. So big promise. Okay. So I got your attention.
Yep.
Got your
attention. Absolutely.
Okay. So now the proof. How am I going to do this? Well, first off, I'm going to give you the numbers right up front, because I got data on this one, as you would figure. And then I'm going to show you the four ways for doing it. The data comes from a study that was conducted as part of a Department of Commerce NIST MEP project with U.S. manufacturing companies. They trained a whole lot of people using the methods I'm going to talk about. And they found that versus people that did basic training, they just attended the training, those that were trained but not certified, who went into a deeper training, literally, when they tracked the projects they did and the value of the projects to the company, they did 400% more. You know, four times nothing is not much. But there was actually something with the basic training. It was just very, very small. Okay. Then they looked at people that certified who went through the full training. So went through partial training, you know, basic training, a little bit more specific training, and then did the full thing. 28 times more. So that's like a big number no matter how you think about it. Okay. So the question is, how do you get that lid off? How do you get that lid off? Well, four things. Okay. So before I go into that, thoughts on that? Thoughts on that data?
No, I mean, those are impressive. And I'm thinking you're talking about the innovation engineering training, not just any training, when you're talking about the 4X or the four times what's going out there, where somebody's gone through, let's say, a 2 or 2.5 day program, and then there's the broader application.
In both cases, it's innovation engineering training.
Okay.
In both cases, the 4X to 28X is innovation engineering training. It's just a matter of the degree of training that they were given. Because, sometimes due training is kind of like a drive-by shooting, you know? Just drive by, hope a miracle occurs, you know? You know? And so there's different levels of the program. And so that's what we're talking about.
Okay. So can you, is there any more you can share as far as the Department of Commerce study? I mean, did they look at 50 companies? They look at 100 companies, and how did you conclude the kind of the 4 times, 28 times?
So it was closer to 500 companies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we could track it because they were given innovation engineering labs, and we could track the value of the projects that started in the company.
Okay.
So we could actually track the real tangible projects. So this is really grounded in like real data.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, now I want to know about the four things.
Okay. So the first one is give rational proof for the emotional transformation required to innovate. Okay. So a mindset change for humans is tough. Among other things, when they adopt a mindset of innovation, they need to accept the uncertainty of the scientific method. You know, where you say, I like the scientific method. Well, the scientific method means you come up with some hypothesis that has no certainty to it that you're going to go run an experiment. And this can be hard because people want to know the answer before they start.
Yes.
And related to this is they need to accept the fact that they are going to fail. You cannot adopt innovation and be right all the time. You got to get over yourself. It's not going to happen. And this is really hard for many people. They have to be right. Okay, we're not going to talk about the school system screwed up. We'll do a deeper thinking about education coming up, but on the mindset of education. But fundamentally, they've got to be willing to accept uncertainty. They got to be willing to accept fail. And this is really hard. And these challenges create fear, and that fear is both rational and emotional. And I'm going to start with the rational, because I find unless you dissolve the rational, you can't get to the emotional, which is actually the bigger challenge. But it's like the first thing is you got to get over the rational part. And the challenge we've got is that I would think everything except for innovation engineering, and I'm not boasting, show me I'm wrong. Somebody show me I'm wrong. Most of these programs are based on war stories or Apple, Google, Facebook, legends, a book of something, but there's no factual data. I mean, we've got 22 binders, big, the 4-inch, 3-ring binders of academic data and proprietary studies that have been done on over 25,000 innovation successes and failures, hundreds of thousands of innovations, 17 billion in active innovations. We've got real data behind the methods that we teach with this. And if you're going to try to get people to change, make sure the program's grounded in data, not, oh, it's popular, it's hip, it's popular. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are popular. That doesn't make them great. Gangs are popular. That doesn't make them great. We have to have some data behind this if you're going to make the rational transformation. Okay, so what do you think? Rational proof as a starting place.
Yeah, there's a big tug on me on this. So there's rational giving me data, giving me scientific method, which, you know, both of our backgrounds are from the Deming philosophy. So we really get into those things. But I also know that emotional is how people make decisions ultimately, you know, that push comes to shove. And I'm not denying any of the data that you have here, but there's this emotional aspect of people buying into something. That's why we have such bad decisions today, is somebody emotionally gets involved with an idea and spends money on it until it's dead, or maybe they get lucky and it moves forward. So,
it's about and not or.
Yes.
It's about and not or. And see, and therein lies the challenge. So their defense, the defense of those people teaching courses that are all feel good, sing kumbaya, all this warm feeling is it's all emotional, baby. Let's just feel it. But the problem is that 3/4 of the brains out there have a logical, rational mindset, whether we like it or not. And it's not enough to do the rational. It's not enough to do the emotional. We have to do both.
I agree.
Starting place is you've got to have some rational proof. And the thing that's missing from 99.9% of innovation courses is there is no data to back up any of it. There's no data. Is, well, my cousin does this, or I've done this for a whole bunch of time. Yeah, did it stick? No, it didn't stick. That's the issue. We're talking about stick factor here, folks. And to get stick, you got to have your feet grounded in data. And that's the place where we start. Now we move, and frankly, the next three are all about emotion.
Okay.
They're all about emotion. But you got to have the data, no math, no stick, okay? Because otherwise, it's a random dice roll, and there will be too much variance in it that'll exist. And so, what's interesting is the minute we talk about innovation, with innovation engineering, we do testing, quantitative testing, we do sales forecasting, and innovation people go, "Ooh, no, you're ruining the spirit of it." Well, get over yourself, okay? And then you whine that when you get into the system, the accountants kill you. Well, guess what? Get over yourself. Do you want to just have a feel-good playground, or do you want to ship, baby, ship, and make money? That's the difference that we're talking about. So it starts with the rational brain, which is totally contradictory to all the other trainings of feel the ethnography and the feeling of the design and the spirit of collaboration. And yes, those things are all wonderful. But we have to have our feet grounded solid, because eventually you're going to have real-world adults who are going to have to evaluate the stuff.
Okay. All right. So let's get to these 2, 3, and 4 that you say are more tied into to the okay, emotional.
So the second thing is cycles to mastery.
Okay.
You got to design the course to understand the diffusion of innovation challenge. Everett Rogers wrote the book Diffusion of Innovation, 5th edition now. And he really does an amazing job and backed and supported with data. That's why I like him, explains how and why new ideas spread across the culture, whether that's a culture of your customers or whether it's a culture across your company. And in simple terms, innovations move from innovators, which are 2.5% of a population, to early adopters, which are 13.5%. They're actually the second group. You know, the innovators, they'll do anything. Early adopters then come next, then early majority, 34%, late majority, 34%, and then the laggard, 16%. And basically, each group holds back on adoption until they observe that the group before them has made the switch. Now, for efficiency, companies like to apply training to everyone at the same time, basically spread it like peanut butter across to everybody. Okay. And the result is you get a mixed collection. You get those people who are for it and those that are against it, and this creates a conflict. And you get tribes start to develop, okay, which doesn't create momentum. Now, to soften these differences, we found that part of what's happening with Everett Rogers is there's a repetition that happens. The innovators and the early adopters, they'll grab on pretty quickly. The early majority have to see it a number of times, the late majority a lot more times before they're going to start to buy in. And so what we've learned is that instead of a one-and-done class where you teach a subject and then, well, you've learned it and you have to now adopt it, that's only going to happen with the crazy people, the innovators. I love them, but they're crazy, okay? And what we have to do is we have to take them on a journey of dozens, if not hundreds, of cycles of learning till they master and adopt the new mindset, okay?
Okay. So one quick question I have for you, Doug. When you're starting this, then you've kind of laid out kind of this innovators, early adopters, early majority, those types of things. Who are you taking then in kind of the first series? If it's a smaller tribe, are you trying to take one from each group, or are you just focusing in on the innovators and the early adopters?
If you leave it to its own, what'll happen is it'll be the innovators and early adopters that will self-select to go do it. But the fact is, that takes a long time then to go through the organization. So I'm just going to take whoever the company wants to have do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to play the hand I've been dealt. I'm an engineer. The factory has to run. But what I'm going to do is, with innovation engineering, we're going to take a cycles to mastery approach, where we're going to give them a digital class, a short 7-minute video that presents the theory of a sub-skill or skill. Then we're going to give them a lab class that builds their capability. So where they get to see it, feel it, touch it, okay? And it's broken down into small parts.
Okay.
Then, and we're going to talk more about this in point number 3, then we're going to do an application class that creates confidence. And that's the biggest, longest class. In other words, rather than teach them and then drive by and say, good luck, folks. Hope you have a good day. I mean, you've taken the class. Good luck with that. And then they go back and go, what the hell am I doing? Instead, we're going to work with them to help them make it real. And then finally, we're going to do a reflection class, which we're going to actually do a number of times, to get them to connect the dots from the theory to the reality in the workplace. And so what we're doing is enabling diffusion to happen inside that person. And what you find is that some people, the innovators and early adopters, they'll watch the digital class and they go, I got it. This is awesome. Some, the light bulb will go off during the lab class. I mean, when we're doing 3 and 5-day things, because they go through this journey, you know, sometimes it's day four and they go, I get it. I get it now. And so it's allowing this to happen at their own pace, but giving them those repetitions to start to build it. Now, you're only going to do this if you really believe that it's going to be important for your organization to get a nimbleness and ability to innovate and change. If you don't believe it's important, then just whatever, you know. But if you want to make it work, this will make it work. And importantly is that instead of being punitive, okay, because, you know, unlike other courses, and in fact, I think you should challenge people is, do you have college accredited courses? You know, to be college accredited, you have to go through peer review, you've got an accreditation. I mean, you have to meet some standards. Most courses are sort of Joe Flabitz's instant creativity class or innovation guru class, or I did something lucky once at Starbucks, and so here, I'm now a genius, and so, you know, learn from me, whatever, you know. But there's no real substance behind it, you know. And so because we do real classes certified on, accredited on campus, and we're going to and go through that process, we have to give grades. But even with the grades, you need to make sure if you're doing a certification or a grade that the learning is not punitive. Instead of pass fail, what we do is we give students coaching feedback on assignments and they are encouraged to resubmit until they reach success. So, you know, just like you can't walk out and say, okay, here, let me show you the tennis racket. This is how it works. Okay, dude, you're ready. Wimbledon, you're up. You know, instead, you're going to hit some serves and they're going to be bad. And the coach doesn't say, you're a loser, loser. No, they're going to give you coaching and you're going to do it again. They're going to give you coaching and you're going to do it again. That's how it works, folks.
Okay. And
some will get it quickly. Some will take longer. But everybody has a means to reach the new mindset. We're not going to have the cool innovation kids and the dorks. We're going to have one culture.
Got it. So if I've done the digital class, you know, I do the lab class, these four things, the application class, and then the reflection class, is this what gets me my 28x, my 28 times the performance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the key component to this is number three, which is teach and do in the same session, in the same course, start the application. So to get emotional buy-in, it's critical that the innovation training be made real. And as part of the course, not the course and now do it. And so many people that do training, they don't like to get their hands icky with the real world. You know, they're like, well, no, I just do the theory with my case studies because I'm comfortable in my case studies because they're bulletproof. No. Mm-hmm. And they start asking real questions. Well, how does this work? And this, you know, obviously it's obvious. No, it's not obvious. Because, see, if you look inside the mind, if you peer inside the mind of students in an innovation course, especially if they're not the innovators, they are thinking continuously, does this make sense for me? How could I use this when I go back to work?
Right.
How does this fit? How does this fit? How does this fit? And the challenge is that when you have generic case studies, it can be harder and harder for you to see the connection.
Yes.
Because what you got to do is you've got to use some creativity to make the transition. And those people that are maybe not going to get it as quickly because they're lower, they're not going to have that leap of faith, okay, to make that difference.
Okay.
And so it's going to be harder and harder. So you've got to make this absolutely real to them.
Okay. So you've taken the training, you've done some things during the course of the training that are outside of really what their work is, so they can kind of learn and understand. And now, really, in step three, we're starting to, how does this apply to my setting at my where I work?
That's right. So we're going to do it. We're going to do real work and learn and do. I mean, even my lecture events. I'm moving all of my lecture events from the talking head that I've been doing. You know, we've been doing it for years. And I finally just got fed up with it. And I've decided everything I do is going to be learn and do. Because that creates the stick factor much bigger. Now, there's two ways to do this. One is is the company may have a very important opportunity. We call it a VIO, okay? It's some big challenge that the company faces. It could be a system, it could be a product, it could be anything, okay? Something that, and the group that's training is the group that's going to address this very important opportunity as part of a project.
Okay.
So they're going to work on a big project to get a proof of concept of this new mindset and that they can do great things. The other way to do it is to have those attending the course work on applying the learning to a project that is within their sphere of influence. Basically, something that they have control over, something that they can manage. It could be a problem, a frustration, something they face in their day-to-day work. It doesn't have to be huge. It just needs to be something that needs some fresh ideas. And interestingly, we're finding that a combination of these methods is the right approach to really transforming a culture. The big VIO projects create big value for the organization. However, they only apply to a small subset of employees that would be working on. The sphere of influence projects create depth of engagement across the culture. And in fact, this whole thing is so important, this application. It's 70% of the time required to become certified as an innovation engineering blue belt or black belt, the higher level, is spent on application of the learning. Now I understand it's just like Six Sigma when in the beginning, not today, but in the beginning, it was a lot more time spent on application and it costs more to do this. But the stick factor is a four-digit ROI. I mean, it's amazing what happens here.
So, Doug, is there a when you look at these two different types of projects, your very important opportunity or the sphere of influence type of project, is there one that you kind of suggest people move towards as a start, or is it really up to the organization?
Do both.
Okay.
Do both.
All right.
Yeah, do both. It's not linear. No, but do both at the same time, because you're going to need those people in the engine room to help the thing go. Because otherwise, see, if you just take the cool kids off site to do their cool thing and then they hit the regular organization, crash, you know, so you've got to get the mindset. I was with a company up in Canada recently, and interestingly, they had kept everything in sort of the marketing and product development group, and now finance, procurement are all seeking training and engagement in it because they have systems that they want to innovate on to work faster and smarter on. And so we need to get those people that do it if you want to truly create a culture versus a tribe of people that do it.
One question I have, if I'm an organization out there, and let's say I'm doing lean, which I guess would fall under kind of your sphere of influence project, so you have other people working on things, what's the difference between, and this gets kind of to your comment at the beginning, where the person that's involved in an organization is going, okay, here's the next thing. How does that fit in? What's the difference between, let's say, the two?
You mean between lean and innovation engineering?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, lean is a toolbox, which is fine, and it's fine for the tools that it provides. And, you know, what we're providing here is a way within lean, they'll talk about creating ideas, you know, that you'll map out the flow and the value chain.
Right.
And then you have to create ideas, but they just say brainstorm. This explodes that element to it. And it does not only that with regards to systems, but it provides really industrial strength tools. So lean is a great stepping stone to an innovation engineering engagement. In fact, many of our top practitioners are Lean and Six Sigma people.
So they kind of had that mindset. What you're giving is this explosion of ideas as opposed to taking the already existing tools that are in a toolkit and trying to apply them and then use brainstorming.
That's right. Okay. I mean, they're fine. The tools are fine. What we're talking about here is fine filter and fast track. It's acceleration of ideas. It's bigger ideas. It's enabling people to think faster and smarter.
Okay. All right. I just want to get some clarification because I know a lot of, especially large organizations, which I know you guys work a lot with, have a Lean or a Six Sigma type of program or both.
That's right. And in particular, you know, this adds value to that in the factory. The Lean Six Sigma has had a very difficult time getting to strategy and innovation. We obviously help with those things as well.
Okay.
It's a different thing. They're all based off Deming. It's just a we're cousins, if you would. The last of the four things, so we've gone through, give rational proof, understand the diffusion of innovation, application, teach and do. And then the last thing is more tactical, which is provide documentation and tools to make innovation education real. See, so the problem is many of these courses teach theory and abstract methods, but when employees go back to try to use them, there isn't really an implementation. And so everybody implements in a different way. We found that it's critical to provide documented systems. That's step-by-step written methods that provide freedom within a framework for implementation. So we've put in thousands of hours creating and continuously updating operations manuals and over 100 short videos on how to apply the learning step-by-step. See, you got to reduce it to practice is what we're talking about.
Okay.
And that is like a level that needs to go on if you're going to do it, because otherwise they come back and they just get, you know, frustrated.
Sure.
And worse than that, we've observed that often the existing tools, whether it's for project management, problem solving, math, patents, collaboration, research, anything, are designed to prevent mistakes. And this is fine when working on projects and problems with low uncertainty. But when employees try to use their new innovation mindset with old world tools, they get frustrated and soon go back to their old way of thinking. What we need is tools that increase speed while decrease risk. And when the toolbox matches the mindset, then employees engage in a momentum to innovate builds. It's not enough to give the education. You need to provide the tools that enable employees to adapt and sustain the new way of thinking.
So as far as the new tools, I mean, there has to be some flexibility then associated with it, because, you know, when you think of whenever I hear the word tool, I immediately think of lean, because, you know, it is to me a very limited toolbox. And what innovation engineering offers is a much broader mindset of creativity.
But it's different. It's just different. It's apples and oranges. Okay.
Okay.
But they supplement each other. And when we're talking tools, we're not talking about just Venn diagrams, for Christ's sakes. That drive me crazy. No, I'm talking about digital tools that enable you to do, you know, 5-year Monte Carlo risk-adjusted forecasting, tools that allow you to write a patent in about an hour. You know, I'm talking about serious industrial strength tools that allow you to do things you can't do, you can't even look at any other way. Research that you can do at 5% of the time and cost. Artificial intelligence systems that read your idea and give you ideas and advice for making it better. I mean, you know, serious tools that amplify the education. I mean, the goal of the tools is to amplify the education.
So when you look at organization, there is always the fear of when you're going deep, like you have in this particular episode, that people are sitting back. It could be the CEO of an organization or a senior executive organization going, my people would never be able to do this. This is just too hard for, you know, my organization to be able to apply this. I mean, you're talking about Monte Carlo, you know, I'm just trying to get them to come to work on time.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. So you got a bunch of idiots to just fire all the bastards and get a bunch of new ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a reasonable thing to me. Just fire them all. Get a bunch of idiots and go get yourself a Steve Jobs. That's what you need. You need them to come. I mean, come on.
To be honest with you,
I know your people. So you're either going to do it and you're going to take that employee who comes in with a mindset and you're going to just leave them the way they are, or do you want them to do it? I would require employees to get continuous education. I want them to keep getting smarter. Otherwise, if you don't get smarter in today's world, you're getting dumber. So you either walk the talk and you believe in your people and you get a better return on investment for their minds, or you don't. Now, if you don't, okay, whatever, you know, success is not guaranteed. You know, failure is an option. Death of an organization is what happens. Companies die. They go through the life cycle and they die. That's cool.
Okay. So you don't buy into the philosophy of change the people or change the people. I mean, that's the...
Yeah, I mean, if they're unwilling to learn, that's a different story.
Okay.
All but, right. You know, Deming was right. 94% of the problem is the system, 6% is the worker, and that system includes their thinking system and the methods. And if you say, well, we already got this. Okay, show me your operations manual for how you created these. Okay, I'm waiting. Well, yeah. What do you mean? Well, what's your system that you teach employees? Well, we don't have one. Oh, so ideas aren't that important. Well, no, they're critical. I said, so what is it, a random dice roll? I mean, when you do this mindset, it's a game-changing impact on a culture. It creates reward for employees and never-ending growth for the company. I mean, but it's not as simple as just assign somebody, hire a rent a guru, or send them all to a class. It takes more than that. So, and there's more than this, by the way. There's leadership's role, organizational design, reward systems. That's beyond the scope of this. We'll cover that in another episode. But, you know, there's some fundamental things that you either get serious about this or you don't. And if you don't, I'm okay. Death is an option. I know you got 3 years to retirement, so give it up, baby. I mean, who cares?
So one last question I want to ask on this is, you know, when you look at the Eureka Ranch, you've got Eureka Inventing, and then you have this training portion. When would someone decide to need something from a Eureka Inventing, where you guys basically come in and do stuff for them versus a training type of format here? How do they play together?
Well, most of the time they do both.
Okay.
They do both concurrently. In other words, they train the people and have us lead the session the first time through, because that accelerates it, makes it go faster, because you got pressures on the CEO and you got pressures on divisions for innovation pipeline. And I respect that. And I have no troubles with that. The first time through, we'll lead it. Second time through, we'll lead it together. And the third time through, you know, they start to take over in leadership. And that's a pretty common method. But there are also times when I've got an emergency as a business leader. I got to have something and I need it fast and I don't have time for my people to learn. And so call it a proof of concept that the method, because by the way, Eureka Inventing is nothing different than innovation engineering led by people who've got a lot of experience in it. I mean, there's no other magic wiffle dust, you know, it is the same thing. We just have people that got a lot of experience. You got old farts like me helping with ideas and, you know, people who've seen a lot and done a lot, you know, and they've got confidence, but it's the methods are exactly the same. And so, you know, it depends on your business situation, and we have to be respectful for the situation as it is and not try to say, well, that's fine, but you really need to do this. No. Play the hand you've been dealt. Get over it. That's what engineers do. We deal with what we've got. We don't talk theory. We get going.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been, as you said, it was going to be a very in-depth discussion about some of the things that you can do as far as innovation goes. Is any final comments you want to make about today's episode?
No, I can tell you that I liked writing the blog post on this, and I like talking it, because I think what the world needs is more depth. So we need more depth. We need depth. And so I think this is going to be a wonderful, you know, innovation for us with the Driving Eureka, as we seek to teach the innovation engineering system for enabling innovation by everyone, everywhere, every day. How do we get everybody engaged? And that's not just a slogan. It is the truth. It is the mission. It is our purpose. It's what gets us up in the morning. It's what reason why I'm doing this and not just drinking whiskey on my sailboat, although that's a fun thing to do too. it is the driving dimension. And thinking deeper is what we're going to do. And I like this. I think this is going to be fun. It's going to challenge me to think harder. The popcorn things, they're fine. But it's just skipping over the surface. When you have to think deeper about it, I don't know, it's just more engaging to me.
Okay. All right. Well, those are great closing comments, and I think that's a great lead-in for future episodes, too.
Thank you, Trip.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you for listening to the Driving Eureka podcast. This podcast is part of the Innovation Engineering Institute. Innovation engineering is a new field of academic study and leadership science. Its mission is to change the world by enabling innovation by everyone, everywhere, every day. resulting in increased speed and decreased risk. To learn more about on-campus, off-campus, live and online courses, visit innovationengineering.org.